And welcome everybody to Pick and Slip. I am Gavin Miller alongside
Braden Pittman.
And we are back with more NBA basketball on this wonderful Thursday evening.
It has been a week. It definitely has been a week. You're listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. And we're in the conference finals.
Yep.
So it's been intense. Has it been intense?
I don't think it's been super intense. I do think it's been very interesting.
A lot of the games haven't been super, like they've been close, but I feel like every time I haven't been like sweating near the end of them, you know?
Oh, yeah,
feel like I'm like, oh, you know, the Nuggets are closing this one out or something. Like I just, like we're feeling those streaks and stuff. I feel like a lot of the time you'll see a box score and when you actually watch the game, you'll say, oh, the game was closer than the score actually shows.
Yeah.
But these ones, I feel like the scores have been close for a lot of them, but the games haven't been as close as the scores say.
I feel like the games, I feel like the Heat-Celtics games have been really, really good to watch.
Yeah.
I think the Lakers-Nuggets are both definitely like the lower, like the second.
First two games, the first two games, the Lakers blowouts for the most part, except for AD did have to hit a game winner, but even that game like wasn't super close most of the game. The first game was an absolute slaughter.
I think the second game was good to watch, especially towards the end. It hit the fourth quarter, like end of third going into the fourth quarter, I think it was a really, really, really good game. With AD hitting the same game-winning shot from that left wing that he missed earlier in the season. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think it was against the Nets. Was it against the Nets?
I forget. I'm not sure. I think it wasn't. I actually think it was the Nets.
I think it was the Nets. See if you guys know, early in the regular season before the bubble, when people were allowed in games, AD took the same exact shot for the win that he did against the Nuggets, and he missed it.
Yeah, bricked it.
But he hit it in the playoff game, though, which is where it counts much, much more.
There's actually a video of Anthony Davis taking that same shot over and over from that left wing, video of them in practice just shooting that shot over and over, and that practice definitely came into play there. But you want to go over last couple games? It's been a week, so I'm not sure exactly what games had been played by last week. But so I'll just run down the entire of Boston versus Miami. Miami won game one in overtime, 117-114. That game was intense. I believe that was the one where Jimmy Butler hit the game winner, right?
No, it was game two.
That was game two.
Game two, he hit it from the right corner. I'm pretty sure that was game two.
Game two, Miami Heat won 106-101 on the Celtics. Game three, Brad Stevens finally figured out the Miami zone, and they won. Boston won 117-106. And then game four last night, Miami pulled it out 112-109. Again, a lot of really close score-wise games, but I felt like when I was watching them that they weren't that close because a lot of the time the Celtics were up at halftime and then Miami would just dominate the third and fourth quarters. And so it looks a lot closer than it really was because the whole time you were just like, Miami's taking this, except game one, which went into overtime. But like the game two and four, I feel like a majority of the second half, I was just like, yeah, Miami's got this in the bag.
Yeah, and speaking of this Celtics-Miami series, Tyler Herro has been insane. Yeah, just completely insane. Last game four, is up 37 points, 19 in the fourth quarter, breaks D-Wade's record for, I think, most points scored by a rookie and in playoff game, of course, for the Miami Heat, which was previously held by Dwayne Wade. Then also is now the second, only behind Magic Johnson, for most points scored in a playoff game by a rookie with 37. Magic Johnson having 42.
Yes, and I think that's conference finals now he holds the record as well, that he is second by a rookie in the playoffs and is first in rookies in a conference final game. Absolutely insane. Tyler Herro, great basketball player. Better facilitator than he gets credit for. Really good at passing. He really likes like driving into the mid-range and making a good pass. Great three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Just great player overall, all around. He's a slight negative on defense, especially when they put him out there with Duncan Robinson, but then they have Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Just all these like longer athletic players that are able to make up for the slack that Tyler Herro, Duncan Robinson, and to some extent Goran Dragic can't contribute. But just such an incredible run by Tyler Herro so far and the entire Heat team. I know that you had some stuff you wanted to say about the Heat.
Well, speaking of the Heat, I also just wanted to mention one more thing. Tyler Herro was the first player born in the 2000s. I don't know if you said this or not, that has made the Eastern Conference Finals now, yeah, or Western Conference, depending, you know, which conference you're in, which side you're on.
That's so crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, that just shows also how young he is. First player.
He's 20.
Yeah.
He's a youngin.
It's crazy. I'm 17.
Yeah, he's barely older than me.
They're crazy.
It's crazy. Like, the whole time I've been alive, athletes have always been older than me. And in, like, 4 years, I'm going to be older than some of the athletes. And then I can truly feel disappointed in myself. Because up until this point, it's like, oh, they're older than me. Of course they're doing better. But in 4 years, when I'm 21 and I'm seeing the next Tyler Herro at 20 years old dropping 40 pieces in the playoffs, I'm going to say, finally, I can realize that I'm no longer going to be a good basketball player.
Once you hit over the age of 20, you know, yeah, your basketball dreams have come to an end.
Yeah.
Of course, unless you played D1 college ball and like Jimmy Butler.
Or Duncan Robinson. Also.
Duncan Robinson.
He didn't even get on a D3 team.
Yeah, it's true. I don't think Jimmy Butler didn't play D1, I don't think, but...
I think Jimmy Butler went to D2 first. But anyway, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing. We don't want to get too off topic.
Hey, when I'm 25, I'm going to be dominating the rec league here in central Indiana.
Yep. Going to the nearby rec center.
Gavin and I, you know us. We run those pick and slips.
Pick and slips in the gym?
Yeah.
We actually haven't been to the gym together in at least a year, probably 3 years. I go to the gym, but me and Brady never actually.
We miss each other a lot because I'll go sometimes and then he'll go sometimes. We never go on the same days.
Yeah, you guys know I played basketball, but that's it. We're getting too off topic here.
Yeah. back to Heat Celtics.
Yeah, back to Heat Celtics.
Last game, I think that Brad Stevens finally figured out the Miami zone in Game 3. Mm-hmm. I was really happy about that. I was celebrating that very heavily as we came back into the studio yesterday. And I was ready for tonight for Brad Stevens to just tear it apart. And Brad Stevens ran a good game. It was actually, I think, falls on Jason Tatum and the rest of the players who just kind of choked it. Yeah. You know?
I mean,
I think that Eric Spoelstra, first of all, incredible coach. But Celtics, Brad Stevens, also a great coach, and I think that he was coaching adequately last game. I wouldn't say that he coached like the best game of his life, but definitely I didn't see anything when I was watching the game that was like appalling. I didn't see anything that I was like, why are they doing that? You know, it was just players weren't making shots. There were so many turnovers. I think I saw that the Celtics had 20 turnovers and the Heat had 9.
I'm not too sure on the exact number of turnovers.
It just ridiculous. The players just weren't playing their best. Other than that, though, they shot better percentage than the Heat. They shot a better percentage of free throws. The Heat did get, I think, like 6 more free throws, but nothing that's like huge enough for you to say, oh, that's why they won. It was like they only won by 3, so I really think what it came down to is if the Celtics made 4 or 5 less turnovers, I think they have that in that game in the bag if they just held onto the ball better.
Yeah, I agree. Jason Tatum, if you guys did not notice, had 0 points in the entire first half. Then in the third quarter, dropped 16 points. I'm not sure how many points in the fourth, but 16 in the third, 0 in the first half. Marcus Smart had 10 points. And shot 1 from 8. Yeah, I was like 1 from 8. 1 for 8 from the 3-point line.
Somebody I saw made like a $250,000 bet on that Marcus Smart would have 13 points.
Mm.
Yikes.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah, it was a dude made a $250,000 bet. But it said he lost something. Yeah, he lost a quarter of I don't know how much money. Is it a quarter of a
Quarter of a million is what that would have been. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he lost $250,000 saying, betting that Marcus Smart would drop 13 points. But if I'm that guy, I would have bet that Marcus Smart would drop 13 points.
Yeah. Marcus, like, he's been doing pretty. Last series when, or was that this series when Marcus Smart hit like 5 threes in a row?
That was last series.
That was last series against the Raptors. Yeah. It was like what, game two?
It was early. Like it was that. Early in the series, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 15 points straight.
Mm-hmm.
Because Marcus Smart can do that sometimes.
Also a great defender.
Great defender. Yeah. I have almost nothing bad to say about Marcus Smart except for that, what, he's like a 2-time Shaq and the Fool MVP? Because he flops so much.
Gets fined a lot.
Yeah. He's lucky that he gets paid a decent amount on the Celtics. We'll go into Nuggets-Lakers real quick. Just go over the scores. Lakers took the first game 126-114. That was just... That game, I don't even have anything to say about that. That was just a bloodbath. Then game two, Lakers won 105-103. Anthony Davis, game-winning three at the buzzer. Then game three, the Nuggets went up 114-106.
All right. I'm going to say something about this. Of course, this is going to sound really weird saying this, but...
I think I know where Gavin's going with this.
If the Nuggets win next game, that's great for them because it's 2-2. If the Nuggets lose next game, it's great for them.
Yeah.
It's a win-win for them. I mean, they're down 2-1. I mean, their Lakers are following the same path as the Jazz and the Clippers.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, the Nuggets have came back from 3-1 twice this playoff.
It's a win-win for the Nuggets. If they win next game, it's 2-2. I mean, that's great. You're tied up against the Lakers now.
Yeah.
Come being back from 2-0. If you lose, you're down 3-1. You turn to the greatest team in NBA history.
You know what Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic can do when down 3-1.
Yeah.
Great offensive players. Jeremy Grant, I believe, was the player that just absolutely went off last game. Had like 20 points.
He had 24 or 26.
Yeah, I'll double check.
One of those two.
Just because I want to... Yeah, 26.
Mm-hmm.
Which, incredible. He did a great job. They were playing good defense, and here's the big thing. Rebounds.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Jamal Murray is 6'4", I think, right? 6'4", mm-hmm. 6'5".
He's like 6'4", I think.
8 rebounds. That's a good amount of rebounds for a guard, right?
Yeah.
So Anthony Davis, he's what, 6'11"?
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have Dwight Howard, he's 7 foot.
Yep.
You also have JaVale McGee, who's 7 foot.
Yep.
A lot of really tall players. Those three players combined for like what, 50 minutes, 60 minutes?
All three of them?
Yeah, good amount.
AD alone played 43 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
JaVale played 8, and Dwight played 14.
Yeah, so between them, like 70 minutes, we'll say, they had 4 rebounds. Those three players had 4 rebounds.
Yeah.
4 of them. So the ball came off the rim, and the 3 7-footers got the ball 4 times. 4 times. What? 4?
It's insane.
Jamal Murray had 8.
Insane.
Doubled them at 6'4". It was just absolutely pathetic. It was like every time that the ball was coming off of the rim, the Lakers players just took a nap.
I saw a clip of Dwight Howard. It's coming down with, of course, the Nuggets miss a shot.
Yeah.
And Dwight, you know, the ball comes off the rim. Dwight Howard, 7 foot.
Yeah.
How could you miss him?
He's got it.
Yeah, he's going to get the board. He comes up to get the board. His teammate's behind him. I'm not too sure who it was.
I think it was Alex Caruso.
I have no clue. You know the clip I'm talking about?
Yes.
I'm not sure who it was, but maybe it was Alex Caruso. If Braden is saying it might have been who it was. So Dwight Howard's going up, and then he has the ball in his hands, and he just drops the ball, and it goes out of bounds. And then AD throws his hands on his head and is like, oh my God, like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? Grab the ball. You're 7 foot.
It was pathetic. Does Anthony Davis have room to talk? He had 2 rebounds. Oh, wow. 43 minutes, 2 rebounds. I almost fully guarantee that if I stood under the rim for 43 minutes, I could grab a 3rd rebound. If I just stood completely still. I am 5 foot, like 11, And I guarantee that if I just stood under the rim during an entire NBA game, I could pull down 3 rebounds.
No defensive 3 seconds. Just let Braden sit there in the middle of the paint.
Yeah.
And hope the ball bounces his way. Just
keep jumping. Just try when I jump, my arms might go over Jamal Murray's arms as long as he's standing still.
With his arms down.
Yeah.
And not up.
But I really do believe, I think that I could get 3 rebounds.
I couldn't get 3 rebounds in an NBA game.
Gavin's like 4'1".
I'm not 4'1". I'm almost 5'10".
Oh, sure.
That's true.
Lie to the audience.
I'm almost 5'10".
Uh-huh, sure.
I promise. I'm almost 5'10". If I wear those white shoes I have that you know,
yeah, you
probably see me as 5'10".
Yeah, if he wears his high heels, yeah, he's 5'10".
It's not high heels.
Normally, he's 5'4", though.
Some Air Maxes.
If I stick my arms straight out and spin around, then my arms go over Gavin's head.
I'm 5'9".
I can't punch Gavin because he's just too short. It's just like punching
me
straight
and Braden.
Down.
Braden has like two inches on me. No. Yes. All right, let's go back to the games.
Nuggets are down 2-1.
Yep.
And this is a place that they are very comfortable in.
This is a place they're very comfortable in. Did the Clippers win game 1 and game 2?
Yes.
They did? So, yeah, that means that the Lakers are following the same footsteps as both the Jazz and Clippers. We go up 2-1, we lose game 3, win game 4, blow a 3-1 lead. Yeah. I mean, could you imagine? Like, just stop and think about that for 1 second. Could you imagine if the Denver Nuggets came back from a 3-1 lead and three rounds in a row, not only against the team with the highest odds, highest percentage to win the NBA Finals, which was the Los Angeles Clippers, and then to come back and do the same thing against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, that would be absolutely insane. The Nuggets would just be the LA Nuggets, and then the Clippers and Lakers would be banished to Denver.
I mean, they just swap places now. You throw Denver in that big market in L.A., you're now the Los Angeles Nuggets.
Jamal Murray sells the most jerseys in the league.
Jamal Murray is about to get a bag this season.
Yeah, Jamal Murray is.
He's going to get paid.
He's great.
Insane. Him and Jokic are going to. I'm not sure when Jokic last signed a contract, but they're both going to get paid just off this playoff run alone.
I feel like this also, though, might be like the Trailblazers run where they went to the Western Conference Finals. And then, kind of this year, not as good. Might be a one-time thing.
This might just be a one-time thing from Denver. I mean, it'd be unfortunate, though, because this team is so young.
Yeah, they're really young. Jokic is, like, what, 25? Jamal Murray's 23? Crazy young team. I have high hopes for this team. I think that they could be somebody that we see at least high, like, deep in the playoffs for quite a long time.
And, I mean, if you're a Nuggets fan, shout out to you. I mean, honestly, shout out to you because you guys
were believing in this team the whole time.
And
we were like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not a Nuggets fan, nobody said, oh, yeah, Denver Nuggets, come back, 2-3 on leads, beat the Los Angeles Clippers. First of all, me and Braden, if you guys go back and listen to one of our podcasts, which are on Audio Boom, by the way, at WBDG Indie. If you go back and listen to one of those episodes, I'm not too sure which one it is. We were talking about how Denver was down 3-1. And at this point, they were playing the Clippers. And we prepared for the Lakers-Clippers.
Right. We said they're down 3-1. It's Lakers-Clippers now.
Yeah. And we were just kind of discussing Lakers-Clippers, who we thought was going to win. And then, boom, well, a week later, we come back on Thursday, and Nuggets win. And not to mention, game, what is it, 5? Yes, 3-1, so game 5.
Yeah.
Clippers were up 17 points. It was 82-65.
I will never underestimate Nikola Jokic ever again.
Never.
Skinny Jokic is a new animal.
Insane.
It's so fun to watch, too, like the passes that he makes and just the way that he plays. He just makes these moonshot fadeaways that, like, touch the rafters.
Yes.
So fun to watch.
Like,
Jamal Murray will pull up from half court half the time, making these acrobatic layups. He's just, the whole team is so good. Jeremy Grant played great the other night. Paul Millsap has been an X factor in a lot of their wins. They play tonight. Nuggets, Clippers.
Play tonight. We'll see what happens. Either A, the Lakers lose on purpose to give themselves a chance to win the series.
Yeah.
Or B, they win this game and they just throw the series now because they automatically lose.
If the Lakers win tonight, Nuggets are going to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
The game is tonight at 9. Tune into that. Should be super exciting.
It's true, though. It's true. Nuggets fans know that. Nuggets fans know.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, my Jokic jersey is coming in the mail right now because I need to hop on that bandwagon.
This is insane.
Yeah. I already have my Jamal Murray and my Paul Millsap jerseys up on my wall. I'm just trying to collect as many Nuggets jerseys as I can so that people can't call me a bandwagon.
It's too late, Braden. Too late. All right, well, we are going to go ahead, and you want to transition to the game?
Yes, we do have a little game that we like to play here. We play it about once every 4 episodes or so.
We play, yeah. It's just a game we started last season, if that's what you want to say.
Yeah.
It's a game me and Braden have actually been doing since our sophomore year.
Yeah.
High school. We're seniors now. We love this game. We actually kind of came up with it, I mean...
We came up with the concept, not the name.
Yeah, we didn't come up with the name. It's a game that was made, but turned it into an NBA edition. So it's basically a game with an NBA
game
edition.
Game within a game.
Yeah.
We call the game Marry, Trade, Cut, and it is where we say 3 players that we marry. We both say 1 player that we want to marry. They're playing really great right now, and we love it. 1 player that we want to trade. Meaning that maybe it's kind of an awkward fit right now, and 1 player that we want to cut, they are playing awful.
And when we say this, once again, we're going to remind everyone, just like we do every single time, when we say we're trading someone, we do not literally mean we are going to trade them. Nobody is going to trade Anthony Davis if for some reason you say you want to, I don't think Anthony Davis is doing great right now, I would trade him. We do not literally mean we would trade him. Nor do we literally mean we would cut the player either.
Yeah. I mean, there are some that maybe.
There are some.
There are a few that we've said that I fully meant it. But anyway.
There are a few exceptions.
Yeah.
Only a few, though.
Let's get into it. Gavin, who are you loving right now?
I'm loving Tyler Herro. You knew I was going to say Tyler Herro. Yeah. I mean, this kid has been, I can't even call him a kid. He's older than me. This man has been outstanding.
He's not even a rookie anymore. I'm just going to say it. He's not a rookie anymore.
He made All-NBA rookie second team. Meanwhile, you have Chris Dunn, who made All-Rookie first team, who is playing terrible right now, by the way.
Chris Dunn not playing good at all.
I mean, just swap him. Swap him right now.
He averaged like 14 in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, he's been averaging 3 points.
That's a huge drop off. All-Rookie first team, though, by the way, may I add, is Chris Dunn.
Yeah.
All-Rookie second team is Tyler Herro. Ridiculous. Let me just swap them right now.
Please. Right now, I'll tell you who I'm loving.
Who are you loving, Brady?
I've, like I said a minute ago, been loving Jamal Murray. He kind of had like a little bit of a downswing in the first couple games of round 2, but against the Clippers. But he just, all series, all playoffs, he has been dominating. He dropped, 250-point games in... he dropped 250-point games in round 1. Round 2 was a part of that huge comeback push. And then round 3 so far, he's been holding his own, just firing threes left and right, building huge leads. He had a absolute dagger of like a 30-foot three-pointer a couple nights ago against the Lakers. He's just been playing out of his mind. It's insane. Gavin, who do you want to trade?
Wait a minute. Chris Dunn plays for the Bulls.
Yeah, Chris Nunn.
I think I said Chris Dunn.
You did.
That's my bad, guys. I think I said Chris Dunn. I meant Chris Nunn. They're very similar names. I mean, Chris Dunn, Chris Nunn. It's if someone caught that, shout out to you. But I accidentally said Chris Dunn. I meant Chris Nunn for a player I was not loving.
Yeah. Who are you trading, Gavin?
I am trading... Who would I trade right now as a fit? I would trade...
Oh, also, by the way, we are only doing it of players that are left in the playoffs right now. because there are definitely other players I'm loving besides Jamal Murray that already got eliminated, but that's neither here nor there.
A player, this might just be a personal, like not even personal, this might just be because I don't like him. He's not bad, but I don't like Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
I just think he's almost too full of himself. I mean, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
But he has a huge ego, but it's not like an ego to the point to where I'm LeBron. I drop him with a triple-double every single game.
Yeah.
Now I talk. I mean, but you back it up. Michael Porter Jr., you'll know he's scoring his 12 points, 15 points. But
he didn't even play before the bubble. He just now, like, these are his first playoff games first NBA games are in the playoffs. And it's not even, like, the real playoffs because it's the bubble, so there's none of that pressure of having fans and that atmosphere or anything, especially because I think that the Nuggets would not be making these comebacks if they were actually in LA, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I think if there were fans, the Nuggets would not have came back from 2-3-1 comebacks.
I think the first one maybe because they were against the Jazz, but I think that if they're in LA, I don't think that Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic are as deadly if they're actually in LA with fans. That's just my own personal theory. But yeah, Michael Porter Jr., a lot of just the things that he says, also, he has some weird political opinions, if you guys want to go look into that on your own time. But he just talks a lot.
He talks a lot, and I don't think he backs... I think he talks too much for what he can back up.
Yeah.
I think Michael Porter Jr. will probably give you a solid 12, 15 points, and I feel like that's what he does. Or less than that. I don't really see Michael Porter Jr. drop a 25-point game or anything crazy like that. Does Michael Porter Jr. start?
Michael Porter Jr., I don't think that he's starting right now, no. I think that he's been playing like a sixth man role for them.
Yeah, and so he talks a lot. He's not starting, which is already one thing. He's a rookie. Rookies don't talk that much.
Yeah.
I mean, and I like I said, I don't think his play lives up to that in my personal opinion. I'm not saying he's a terrible player. I'm not saying I would trade Michael Porter Jr. I mean, maybe I would, depending on what I could get for him, but he's super young. I don't think I would trade him. But I just don't like what he's doing. I think, and he said in that press conference, if you guys know, against the Clippers after a loss that the Nuggets suffered, he said, Jamal Murray, him, and Jokic are basically carrying the squad and nobody else is doing anything.
Right.
And other players need to do stuff. And now you look at him.
And he had 12 points. What are you talking about?
Like, I feel it more. If anything, if we're going to be disrespectful, it's more Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray are doing everything. Where's everyone else?
Right.
You have Jeremy Grant who came out and dropped a 26-point game. Nice. And you really, like, Michael Porter Jr. should not have been involved in the discussion of me as in Michael Porter Jr., Nikola Jokic, and Jamal Murray are carrying the team. Because, no, you are not carrying the team, Mr. Yeah. Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, no, you aren't. My turn. Who am I trading? Daniel Theis.
Daniel Theis.
Here's my explanation. He doesn't fit. He is a really good rim protecting and sit in the paint type of center. But that is not what the Celtics are trying to build. With Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, those being your best players, you are not trying to have somebody just sit in the paint. I think that you guys want a more five out type of scenario. Maybe just Daniel Theis does not fit that type of team. And really, just the NBA is moving away from that. But I think that the Celtics in particular, they do not want Daniel Theis there. They maybe want somebody like Miles Turner is somebody that I've been, that I've heard in trade rumors with the Celtics that he would be really good at on defense, standing in the paint, getting those blocks, and then on offense, standing in the corner, standing, doing pick and pops, things like that. And I think that's the type of center that they want. They want somebody that can stretch the floor even further than what they already can. Because of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker, and then if you have a good five that can hit threes, even like a Dwayne Dedman or something, just somebody who can make Brooke Lopez is another one that comes to mind.
Just someone that can stretch the floor more.
Yeah. Even if just deep twos, just somebody that you don't have to have stand in the paint. And I think that Daniel Theis, while he is a really good player and I have been loving what he's doing, just does not fit the team as much as they want him to.
Yeah, I agree. And now, who would I cut? The man who I have now, I think, mispronounced his name twice. This is embarrassing. Kendrick Nunn. Kendrick. Nunn. Kendrick yeah. Nunn. Not Chris Nunn. Not Chris Dunn. Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah.
I have it through my head now. If there's Heat fans listening, I apologize. You guys are probably hating me right now. I'm so sorry. Kendrick Nunn. And I'm also would not literally cut him, but he has been playing terrible. And this entire, in this series against Boston, he has been playing
awful. Like the whole playoffs.
I mean, I have his stats pulled up right here. Just against Boston, this isn't his whole playoff. Yeah. This is this round because this is the most recent round, obviously.
Yeah, this is a test of if he's improving at all.
And if anything, he may be worse. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. All rookie first team, Kendrick Dunn, by may I mention once again, above Tyler Harrell. Points per game versus Boston, 6. 6 points per game versus Boston. He averaged 15 points per game regular season.
Yeah. 9-point drop off, not even averaging double digits.
6 points per game against Boston. I understand it's his first
playoff
run.
But I mean, it's not like he's the best player on the team or that people are game planning against him.
Yeah.
Like, people were planning against Ja Morant if Ja Morant makes it to the playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's the best player on that team. But Kendrick Nunn, they have so many other. They have Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Tyler Harrow, Duncan Robinson, Goran Dragic, all to worry about now before Kendrick Nunn, because he has just been playing so bad. He has not been contributing to the team like he should.
Yeah. Assists. Kendrick Nunn, point guard, 6'2", you know, should be able to dish out the ball quite a bit. Only averaged 3 assists in the regular season.
Yeah, he's more of a scorer than anything.
He is more of a scorer. I mean, he has to, if he really wants to be something in this league, he's going to have to evolve to more than scoring. He's going to have to be able to pass the ball.
Yeah,
especially as his size. Yeah, as I was about to say, especially as a 6'2 point guard in this league. That's not tall at all in the NBA. Assists per game, 2. Yeah. 2 assists, so 6 points.
Lost an assist, which again, he's been playing with less minutes, which makes sense, but he's been playing with less minutes because he hasn't been playing good.
Yeah. 3-point percentage.
Ooh, this is the one that I was interested in.
3-point percentage versus Boston. Brayden, what would you consider an average 3-point?
Average 33%. 33%. Yeah.
Kendrick Nunn is shooting 20% from 3 right now.
20%
from the 3-point line. As a 6'2 guard. I'm pretty sure any 6'2 guard in the league can shoot. I mean, at this point, Rondo can probably shoot better than Kendrick Nunn. I mean, if you can't shoot, I mean, maybe I can't see regular season percentages just right off the top of, like, right through what I'm looking at right now. But I'm not sure. Maybe he shot 30%. Maybe he was a good shooter in the regular season. I don't know.
He was definitely a better shooter than that. But Kendrick Nunn is a... Oh, no, I had it down. Hold on. Take 2. Is a...
Idiot.
There we go.
Kendrick Nunn.
Just not doing good. 20%. That's not good at all. There's a lot of centers that could shoot 20% from 3. I bet Ben Simmons could shoot 20% from 3.
It's insane. You're in the playoffs. You're a 6'2 point guard. I mean, 6'2, yes, you can drive. You're skilled. You're in the NBA. You're a good basketball player. I mean, you're among the best of the best. The elite players that play basketball, but you have to be able to consistently shoot and no matter what you're in, regular season, playoff, bubble, you have to be able to shoot. I mean, it's easier to shoot in the bubble. There's no distractions.
Right.
There's no movement in the crowd. No one's getting up. You don't see the cotton candy guy screaming cotton candy while walking up the stairs. I mean, there's no distractions. If he's shooting 20% from 3, which is insane, field goal percentage, was an average 50, 40, or 50% is pretty good, right?
Yeah.
50% is good. He's shooting 29%. He's not even shooting 30% from the field. That is mid-ranges, layups, anything. Anything that's worth 2 points.
Yeah, just
29% from a guard?
That's not doing good.
That is insane. I mean, what is that?
Just doing really, really bad.
That is terrible. And
yeah, I think that he just quit giving him minutes.
I mean, right here versus Boston, He still played 21 minutes.
Yeah.
He's still playing 20 minutes.
And had, what, 3 points last night?
I mean,
he's a decent defender. I'll give him that. He was playing good defense when he was on the floor yesterday.
I mean, yeah, he can play good defense, but I mean, Tony Allen.
His arms are kind of short, though.
I mean, there's a reason. Like, you have people like Tony Allen who could not play offense at all.
Yeah.
But were really good at defense. But people like Tony Allen, that's an elite level defense.
And Tony Allen also wasn't taking as many shots.
Yeah, also.
Tony Allen wasn't shooting 20% from three. He was shooting 0% because he didn't attempt a single shot.
Exactly. Kendrick Nunn is supposed to be which he's living up to, a nice defensive player. But you also need to be, especially when you're the main point guard coming off the bench. I mean, the point guard is usually the leader of the team. You see LeBron, even though he's a forward, steps to the point guard. Giannis, who's a forward, brings the ball up like a point guard.
Yeah.
Luka brings the ball up like a point guard.
Damian Lillard, Trae Young, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum.
I mean, Kevin Durant will probably step in the point guard position this year.
Jimmy Butler, if you're seeing the good leadership positions, they will be main facilitators and things like that, and they will have the ball in their hands a majority of the time.
Yeah.
And that is, Kendrick Nunn's just not living up to it. And then I think we're going to end it on a Lakers player, somebody who is very hated amongst fans because of his mix of trash talk and not playing good. A couple weeks ago now, he hit a game winner and said that he would have pulled that if Jesus was in his face. We were talking about the one, the only Kyle Kuzma. It looked like Jesus was in his face 2 nights ago when he pump faked a wide open 3-pointer and then completely missed the rim. Just that shot alone is enough for me to say, cut Kyle Kuzma, please. He was the one piece that they kept when they were trading their entire future for Anthony Davis. And you keep Kyle Kuzma of all of them. I would have rather had Lonzo Ball throwing lobs to Anthony Davis and LeBron. Or Brandon Ingram, who was an all-star. Or what's his name? The little guy. Josh Hart. And have him be playing really good off the bench. Anyone but Kuzma.
I mean, could you imagine if the Lakers would have kept Brandon Ingram, especially with as fast as development as Brandon Ingram is currently going through, how fast he's developing is insane. I mean, Brandon Ingram probably, most improved player, would you say?
Yeah.
It's either him or...
Who did they give it to? I think it was already decided, right?
Most improved?
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
It wasn't?
They did all NBA teams, like all NBA first, second, third, all rookie, all defensive team, defensive player of the year, coach of the year. But I don't think they did MVP. They did six man too, but I don't think. Maybe they did. I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was Brandon Ingram.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I didn't even see it. I thought they hadn't done MVP or most improved.
Yeah, August 31st. They did do that.
Okay.
Brandon Ingram, most improved player, averaged 25 points per game, all star, incredible scorer. And you could see flashes of that last year and the year before when he was playing with LeBron and stuff. I don't know why Kyle Kuzma was the one they kept.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, when Brandon Ingram was playing in L.A. and playing with LeBron, of course, he wasn't developed like he is now. He wasn't averaging 20 a game, I'm pretty sure. I mean, he definitely had bad games, but he also had good games. And those good games he had showed promise and was a glimpse of what Brandon Ingram could do in the NBA.
And, I mean, if you look at Lonzo Ball, he did what so many white players in the league do, and he got a sleeve and then started balling out. he got a full arm sleeve and then started throwing half-court lobs to Zion, and his three-point shooting improved. If you look at his jump shot form, it's a little better, and he's making the shots way more consistently now. It's just insane to me that, again, Kyle Kuzma was the one that they kept.
I mean, maybe the Pelicans were just too smart to know that Kyle Kuzma, if they had got him, they would have been robbed.
Yeah.
Maybe they knew, though. I mean, maybe we're sitting here bashing the Lakers organization.
But so many people were like, oh, well, blah, blah, Kyle Kuzma's there. The Lakers are getting a steal by being able to keep Kyle Kuzma since he's obviously the best of all of them.
I do remember when people were saying that. People were saying Kyle Kuzma was... I mean, it was Lonzo. You had Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, and then you had Kyle Kuzma.
Those are the big three.
Yeah, those are the big three rookies. And then everyone, we're halfway through the season, maybe halfway through the season, I think. And everyone's saying Kyle Kuzma is promising. Kyle Kuzma is going to be the best one. Kyle Kuzma, and it's not even close. And then I think Lonzo Ball ended up being the worst of the three, or Kyle Kuzma is the worst of the three. And then you have Brandon Ingram, who's going on to what, average 21 a game now, 20 a game. Kevin Durant, he looks like Kevin Durant Jr. I mean, he's super lengthy. Once he can develop, I mean, could you imagine if he develops a shot like KD?
It's just...
That'd be insane. Just like Giannis. If Giannis could develop a crazy three-point shot, the league would be over. I mean, you have these lengthy players. And the only one I can really think of that's super, super lengthy that can shoot really well is KD, which is what makes KD so dominant, is that he could do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... Kyle Kuzma
can do nothing.
Kyle Kuzma can't do anything. That was the last cut. We don't have any more to go.
Yeah.
It's just
Kyle Kuzma, man. Every time that I see him take a shot. By the way, Gavin, who do you want to win this finals?
I kind of want to see the Heat win now.
Yeah, I can see that.
I just think it would be really cool for the Heat to win.
We won't ever get into this on the show because we feel like it is a redundant argument. But I personally believe LeBron James is the greatest player of all time. Go ahead and get mad at me for that.
I mean, it's an opinion. I can see it.
Gavin, I'm pretty sure disagrees with me.
Yeah, I think Jordan's still the GOAT, but I'm not going to sit here and bash Braden's opinion on LeBron James being the greatest player of all time.
But my point is that just I want LeBron. Like, I'm not even a huge LeBron fan. I just think he's the greatest, and I want him to win this ring because I have no opinion on the last four teams that are in the finals, and I just feel like if LeBron wins this ring, people leave him alone a little bit more if he's made 10 finals and won 4 of them.
Yeah, and I mean, like Brady said, we'd probably never go into that. I think we went on to it one time and like a long time ago.
Yeah.
You guys were listening way back when Kobe Clark was on the show. I'm pretty sure we went into that, but there was no point because, in my opinion, I have LeBron as the second greatest basketball player of all time.
Yeah,
I mean, it's still amazing.
I, 3 years ago, had Kobe as the best of all time. Or I think it's 4 years ago now. And then LeBron made the 3-1 comeback. And I said, all right, let me dive a little bit deeper into the stats. I think that at this point, it's almost impossible for me to not see LeBron as the GOAT. But it's like, I don't care about the GOAT argument that much. Because at the end of the day, we all know who are, like, undoubtedly top three.
Yeah, I mean... And at this point, it's in my opinion, if you're growing up watching basketball and you're growing up and starting to realize more about basketball, you'll argue the GOAT. I mean, that's like the one thing that you will do growing up. But then I feel like once you hit a certain point in watching basketball and as you're like growing up throughout it, you realize there's just no point.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And that's I see so many grown men arguing about it, and it's like, you guys clearly don't like the sport of basketball as much as you like the Chicago Bulls or you like the Indians. Like, I watch all sorts of basketball all the time just because I love this sport, and I really don't care who you think is the best.
Yeah, and I mean, even with that, if you do want to argue it, you're not going to win the argument. Like. Yeah.
Nobody has ever made an argument for me about somebody being the GOAT, and then I'm like, you're right.
Yeah, nobody's done that to me. Like, I've had plenty of people argue with me about LeBron James being the GOAT, and I'm just like, okay, you know, you think he's the GOAT. I have LeBron as the second greatest basketball player of all time. And yeah. I also hate when I say, yes, I have LeBron as the second greatest basketball player of all time. Second greatest basketball player of all time. I'm going to repeat it one more time. The second greatest basketball player of all time, of anyone that's played in the NBA or ABA or whatever. Yeah. And they act like I'm saying LeBron James is the worst player in NBA history. I just said he was the second greatest player of all time. Yeah, just because I don't have him as the GOAT does not mean I'm disrespecting LeBron James.
Yeah, like I have Jordan and Kobe both like really close, but like people be like, you're disrespecting Jordan. Like, no, I still think that Michael Jordan is an incredible basketball player.
That's exactly what I say.
I think that Michael Jordan is the best scorer we have ever seen.
I think that LeBron, like I said, I think LeBron James is easily the greatest basketball player of the decade. I mean, yeah. I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, like, I think that also LeBron is definitely the best. When you take into account like assists and rebounds, I think that he does both of those way better than Jordan and Kobe. And then if we want to go the greatest like icon in basketball, I would say that Kobe has added way more to the sport than anybody in terms of like that mentality, you know, which it's so cliched to say Mamba mentality, but it just the whole thing, like they are all so good.
Yeah, they're all so good in their own ways.
And I mean, specifically, the Jordan and LeBron argument, they are within, like if we're rating players out of 10, and 10 meaning you are the GOAT, they are both 11s.
Yeah, they're like practically like...
It's just who you like more.
It's honestly who you grew up watching. Yeah. I feel like this would. If you grew up watching LeBron, you're going to say LeBron's the GOAT. If you grew up watching Jordan, you're going to say Jordan's the GOAT. Because they are practically the same exact player in different generations.
Yeah.
They're the exact same player. One played in the 80s and 90s. One played from, 2003 to now it's 2020. Played the entire 2000s and 2010s era. Yeah. I mean, it's literally the same player in different eras. That's all it is. It's the exact same player in different eras. It just depends on who you grew up watching. And, I mean, you can check stats, too, but everyone knows. I mean, in my opinion, stats don't pull up the whole story. I mean, I feel like stats obviously tell a big part of it.
Yeah.
Tell like 85% of it. But also, look up stats. Stats will tell you defensive ratings, but then you can't see... The best, in my opinion, the best way to see who's the GOAT is if you were able to watch both of them play a full game.
Yeah.
Not just highlights, like a full game. Because then you'll see the bad things too. You'll see it, because highlights only show the good things.
Yeah, because it's really hard to find full Michael Jordan games for me to watch.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of it where I can see highlights, I can see whole games where I can see every single point that he scored. But it's really hard for me to find clips of Michael Jordan getting blown by. And it's really easy for me to find clips of LeBron James getting blown by because that's just because in the modern era, there's 17 years of LeBron James basketball that people have been recording and keeping track of.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Michael Jordan, there wasn't that as much.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is a little side tangent. If ESPN... opened up their full entire archives of every sport that they had recorded and had it a streaming service like Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu, I would pay so much money for that.
You would?
Yeah, just to see every like sport moment that they have broadcasted. If I could just see like a random Titans versus Colts game from 2002 or something like that, I would love that so much.
That'd be cool.
I would pay $20 a month for that.
That would actually be really cool. We could just check back on any game that ESPN has broadcasted. You know, it's like almost every game. I mean, or just a ton
like,
of games.
Just like boxing matches or just anything that ESPN's brought, like old wrestling matches. I think that just all of that would be so cool.
It would be really cool. I mean, aside from going off track from just basketball, like football.
Yeah.
Baseball. Golf, soccer, boxing.
For me to personally, because I just love analyzing basketball so much, for me to be able to say, oh, what? TJ Warren had a 35-point game here? Let me go see what happened there. And I'm just able to pull it up. Or I can go see, like, his old NC State games or stuff like that. I love TJ Warren, by the way. I've done way too much. When he got traded, I worked on a big project for myself where I compared him and Bojan Bogdanovic's roles in their offense. And I could talk about TJ Warren for days, but I won't for you guys' sanity.
But like one last thing I want to say, and then we can just, if you have anything left you want to say, you can say it.
Yeah.
But the people I listen to for the GOAT debate are typically the people who have seen all three of them play, including like Kobe. Like if you grew up watching Jordan and you saw Jordan and you saw Kobe, who played in both eras and dominated, and then
Kobe is the only one that played against both of them.
Yeah. And then you have LeBron. Because you got to think, like, people like your dad, if they're big NBA fans, they've grown up, they've seen Jordan play, they've seen Kobe play, and they've seen LeBron play.
Yeah.
They've seen all three of them, and I feel like those are the types of people I base my opinion off of, because I can't. I only saw Kobe, part of Kobe, like not the really the prime Kobe. I only saw kind of like the end of his career type Kobe, or like 2010 or whatever Kobe. That Kobe was good. I didn't see Jordan at all. Now yeah. I've only seen LeBron. So the people I value opinion, the people's opinions that I value the most are the people that have seen both all Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron.
Yeah, and I mean, this is going to make Gavin and I sound really, really young. We were born the year LeBron was drafted. So yeah. A lot of our opinion, like, you can really just ignore it for the most part about GOAT debates.
Yeah. Because,
like, I can look anybody in the eye and I can say, yeah, Horace Grant was an incredible player, but... you can tell that I have not seen more than 6 full Horace Grant games. I'm really going off of stats for a lot of what I say.
Yeah.
It's just redundant, really. I think that one of the only people whose opinions I can trust on that is Shaquille O'Neal. He played against all 3.
Yeah.
But then again, he played with LeBron and he played with Kobe. I, for the most part, whenever I hear an old player talking about it, I'll just ignore their opinion because usually it'll be like Scottie Pippen being like, yeah, Jordan was the GOAT. And then it's like, yeah, he won you 6 rings. Of course you think that.
Never trust Paul Pierce, Kendrick Perkins, or Scottie Pippen. Or Isaiah Thomas.
I think the fact that Paul Pierce actually says that LeBron's awful makes me think, okay, so Paul Pierce, so LeBron is the GOAT. Because everything Paul Pierce says, the exact opposite comes true.
Never trust what they say. As Scottie Pippen changes his GOAT, who is the GOAT for Scottie Pippen changes every week.
Days.
Yeah, it changes about once a week.
So. He actually just has a little calendar on his wall, and every 6 days it switches. Yeah, it's changes. Kobe week.
Like Isaiah Thomas says, I feel like Isaiah Thomas thinks Jordan's the GOAT for some reason. Just because he says Kareem's the GOAT, but then he says LeBron would be the GOAT. And I think Jordan, even though Jordan's in his top 5, but it'd only be because he hates him, because Jordan would beat him. Yeah. Except for like that 1 year, 2 years of the bat when Jordan struggled.
Yeah. But that was 88.
Yeah, I think it was like 89-90 or 88-99.
Dennis Rodman, back-to-back depoys.
Yeah, but that was it. I mean, other than that, it was Jordan, it's only because Jordan doesn't like him. Also because it's probably only because wasn't Jordan the reason he didn't make the Dream Team?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why. He knows Jordan's easily a top 5, if not top 2, top 3 easy.
Yeah.
If not 1. So that's all I have to say, though. That was a little rant.
As the NBA starts to get closer, we don't have a lot of news. And then also, we don't have a lot of, like, free agency, things like that. We just have the games to go off of. So expect the next couple weeks to be a lot more like this, where we're just talking about a lot of different basketball topics.
Yeah, we'll just kind of talk about a lot and just whatever comes to our head, we'll talk about, because we only have games right now. We only have 4 teams.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say, though. Thank you guys for listening. This episode will go up on Audio Boom at WBDG Indy. This will be episode 7, I believe. 6 or 7.
I think it's 6. It's 6. Now.
This will be episode 6. So make sure you guys go to Audio Boom and listen at WBDG Indy. I'm Gavin Miller. Thank you, Braden, for being on the show, like always.
Thank you for having me.
Braden's show is right after this, so don't go anywhere.
Yes.
Stay tuned and listen. It's a great show.
Thank you.
It's a great show. I wish to be on it one day. Actually, I was for Space Jam, but that's all I have to say. Thank you guys for listening, and peace.